All right, so we're taking a look at, you know, we had started talking about something that really is good. It's a good thing to do, recycle. It's just so interesting that so many things that are truly, truly good can be used in ways that are bad. I mean, you think about, for example, the Bible and all the good information that is contained in the Bible. And how people can take something that has so much good in it and use it for evil. Use it to promote slavery. Use it to promote materialism. You name it. Interesting. So interesting. How about something like love? And so many people who will, you know, understand that people need to be loved. And when I say people, I do mean people. As we said before, you know, you think about it. A baby boy needs to be loved. A baby girl needs to be loved. We need the love, and that love needs to be shown. It needs to be expressed and on a regular basis. A lot of you recall the experiment. I almost hate to call it that, but that's basically what it was. The experiment where they had the babies, newborns, and they just kind of compared how babies who received much attention, and when I say much attention, of course, they were fed, they had the diapers changed, they were bathed. But beyond all of that, they also were just held, sometimes just to be held. They were kissed just to be kissed. Someone was talking with them day after day, talking to the child, talking to the child, talking to the child. And the child, the children, these children were really just received. They were being lavished with affection and love and attention. On the other hand, the group that they were compared to is a group of babies, newborns, who were only given the minimal of care. They were given the milk. When they needed to drink, when it was time for the meal, their diapers were changed. They were kept clean. But that's it. Once the meal time was over, diaper change over, there was no more interaction. No one held the child just for the purpose of holding the child. The people would not talk with the children, etc. And they discovered over time, as they studied the brains of these two groups of children, the group who was lavished with attention and the group that was starved of attention. And they found that the brains of these two different groups of people, these two different groups of children, developed differently. And the group that was terribly neglected could tend to be more hostile, things like that, because of that lack of attention, even as a newborn. So, you suppose that a baby needs to be cared for, baby needs to be shown attention, a baby needs to be shown affection, a baby needs to be loved, regardless of gender. Do you suppose that as each of these children or these groups of children grow older, either group, whether the male group or the female group, gets to a point where they no longer need to be loved? And of course, we know that there are people who join black gangs. There are people who join white gangs. You name it. And some of these people, not all, but quite a few of them, have joined because they talk about the abuse and or neglect that was so much a part of their lives as children, growing up. And so they looked for family. They looked for someone who would be family. Or even if they did not actively look for someone who could be their stand-in family, their surrogate family, when they did express some of the concerns that other people who were part of the quote-unquote family had, they were simply invited. Hey, why don't you join us? And very often they would, because of the anger, because of the pain, of the neglect, of the abuse. In other words, no gender, no person, regardless of age, ever grows to a point where we no longer need love. Now, some people may get to a point where they do a better job of coping without love than other people do. But believe me when I say that, that doesn't mean they have gotten to the point where they no longer need to be loved. We all need to be loved by our Creator, by some humans who mean something to us. We definitely need to be loved. Now, we can say it's important for us to be cared for, too. Cared for by a fellow man, not just by, folks who are living in the same household that we live in. Maybe even distant relatives, cousins, distant cousins, great, great aunts. It's important to be cared for by these people as well. But it is also important to be cared for by people who we may see once every 3, 4, 5 years, making decisions that affect how we live, that affect our health, our overall well-being. All of that's important. And it's important to think about this as we talk about recycling. We definitely do not want recycling brought to an end. That's not the answer to the problem that we discussed last week that we're approaching again this week. No, we're broaching the topic of recycling because we're going to tie it again to recycling and how some people use it to traumatize communities of color. That is what this is about. Communities of color being devastated, not by the recycling in and of itself, but the way people are just handling trash in general. We talked about dirty recycling and clean recycling last week. And we talked about, along with that, how dirty recycling is being positioned near communities of color. So that the devastating impact of having all of that stuff, especially when you have some stuff that's supposedly recycled stuff, but it ends up, as we talked before, mixed in with trash and it's not really separated well, ends up being incinerated, and that stuff's taken to plots of land located next to communities of color. Not a cool thing. A dirty manufactured recycling factory is one where trash and recyclables arrive mixed together, no at-home separation required. The stuff that's to be recycled and the stuff that is bona fide trash, it's all mixed together. That's the way it's taken to the facility. And then it ends up, I'll tell you where in just a few.